Hello, everybody. It's episode 4F16, the Canine Mutiny. First original air date, April 13th, 1997. I'm Josh Weinstein.
And I'm George Meyer, curious bystander.
Dominic Pulcino, the director of the Sorry, I have a sore throat there.
That was live. I like that intro. That was live. Unfortunately, Ron Howge, who wrote this episode and is dryly hilarious, could not be here today. So we'll try to pick up. Now, you'll notice, I don't know if they've ever talked about this on commentaries, but we'll talk about it now, is there's different lengths of openings for every show. And in a lot of our episodes, we went so long that we used the shortest opening, which is just Homer driving a garage and a couch. You will notice this is the super-duper long intro that has everything. Because this episode was short, and I believe we were trying to remember, I think we actually ended up cutting out a big sequence in the middle.
About half of the show was rewritten after Animatic, I believe. It was a very difficult road, this one.
Yeah, and we appreciate all the work, because I know it's especially hard when you rewrite an episode. We were, Bill and I and the whole gang were always really anal, where we tried to have the stories and everything worked out first before the table read, so you would not have to do as much rewriting down the road. And also, this is a good time to explain, every time, at each stage, it becomes more and more expensive to rewrite. After a table read, it doesn't cost anything to rewrite, except your own personal health,
yeah,
and happiness. But then when it goes to Animatic, you can only rewrite a smaller amount because it actually starts to cost money. And then once it goes to color, you can rewrite very, very little. And on this episode, we ended up changing around some stuff in the middle, in the Animatic stage, which caused a lot of...
Yeah, hopefully we'll be reminded when we watch it what those changes were.
Yeah. Oh, and I want to mention one idea that we had that's right here is we always wanted to do the Simpsons mail call and the Simpsons mail, because it's like they're a family that lives in a country and they receive in a house and they receive mail. And so we wanted to just do jokes about the different type of mail that they would receive.
And we couldn't always do the opening where they get an idea from seeing something on television.
Right, so instead it's from a solicitation by mail.
But, doctor.
And I think originally the whole idea was, there's an original, old idea about Bart getting that the Simpsons were issued a credit card for Hobart Simpson, a combination of Homer and Bart. And so Bart used a credit card, and from that small idea came this story.
Did you guys want Santa's Little Helper to be trying to go to the bathroom there? I'm not sure if that was... I think that's what the original intent was.
You know, I think it was. And I remember that now. I remember he was supposed to get into that pre-bathroom crouch.
So I don't know if that... I don't know if we succeeded. He's doing something back there. We don't know.
Well, now you know. From now on, when you watch it, that's what we'll think about. Forgiven, aren't you? Now, getting a credit card, too, is actually based on something that really happens, is these credit card companies do not pay attention to what you fill out in a form. And you could fill just like Bart did and get a credit card, though...
We certainly are not advocating
we
that.
We are not advocating that, and we do not advocate anything that we say. We do not believe in anything we say. But that really does happen.
If that is your real name, Bart Simpson, but your phony credit card is no good here. Now make like my pants and split.
What good's a credit card if you can't even use it?
Now this catalog is sort of a combination of like the Lillian Vernon catalog and the Sharper Image of both high and low crap.
Yeah. We're always kind of fascinated by these catalogs. The kind they have on the airlines, that have
exactly.
A catalog of catalogs, which seems almost impossibly...
Not, in hindsight, I'm wondering if that salmon would come that way. It didn't look like it even had a wrapper.
I know, I was like, I love Homer's corporate logo. I wish he should have used his corporate logo more. And it says, hi.
Good one. Did they ever make a shirt like that?
They should. Now, I realize, too, I think at one point... There was the story of Lisa becoming addicted to these pep pills. And Dominic, it may have never made it to you.
I remember that vaguely,
right.
Also.
this was a delightful surprise to me because I was like, we used the kinks.
Yeah.
It's the only Simpsons episode ever to use the kinks, and no, and it's just like a really nice song, and I'm glad, and I hope the Davies brothers got some TV residuals for it, because that's a great song.
You will win a ha-ha! You will win a ha-ha! You will win a ha-ha!
We had one of those pachinko machines one Christmas, and everybody fought over it for about 3 days, and then it sat in the corner.
That was exactly my dad. Like back in the 70s when there wasn't much stuff to get, my dad got a pachinko machine, and it was amazing, but it was in a basement, and it was musty, and the balls got rusty.
Yeah, that's right. They did get rusty.
But those were popular at a time.
Of the dog maker's art. This limited edition collie comes fully trained.
Now, this phraseology is a lot like those airplane catalogs or all the ones like
or the Peterman.
Right, yeah. Quite possibly the best tomato soup you've ever tasted. Stuff like that.
$1,200. I better just get one.
Hey, where's the mailbox?
The mail slot?
Where's the mail slot?
Yeah. They fixed the door after that. They don't want any more mail.
Oh, okay. But it comes back later.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
I like the beams coming out of the cloud.
It's beautiful. Now, because Laddie, I love the design on Laddie. And he's really, because he's animated a lot more like a realistic dog. Did you do anything different or, like, study doggy acting or anything to...
I don't think we went as far as studying, but definitely had a different approach for him. And he's so athletic, he does this flip. Very elegant dog.
Yeah, because he's really like a nice design. It's almost out of our... It's like out of a Simpsons universe.
Oh,
it's more like something really nice that they're not used to.
Well, this was my... my director was my assistant director... I mean, my brother was my assistant director on this episode. My brother, Michael... who's now directing as well.
What, is he on the show?
Yeah, he's still on the show and directing. And this is his first assistant directing gig was on this episode, I think.
And is he a younger or older brother?
He's a couple of years older.
And what was it like? Were there any exciting conflicts?
I just told him he better do what I tell him. It is professional. We got to be professional here.
Who did you guys both get into animation simultaneously, or always since you were kids?
Oh, we both loved it, you know, Warner Brothers, and just we would sit in front of the TV and draw everything we could that we watched. So I guess we both did. But then I went to UCLA animation school.
That's now I know because like writers are always talking about shows that influenced them, and for people like us, it was like the SCTV and Saturday Night Live and stuff like that. I'm wondering, Dominic, do you have shows like from when you were growing up that really influenced you or made you want to go into animation?
Wow. Thanks for that question. Yeah, I think just Warner Brothers was just funny. I like funny things. I liked SCTV too.
No, not you. Laddie!
Oh.
Come on, I got a job for you.
The storyline is one that we kind of went to a bunch of times. It's called The Usurper.
That's exactly right. And as the storyline, you can sort of tell, and I apologize for this, right from the beginning what's going to happen, and then you know that they'll get him back in the end. But hopefully we'll take you on a little trip in between till we get to the unsatisfying ending.
Laddie, hide behind that bush there.
I don't think real repo men have big signs on their trucks that say repo.
Yeah, because that might give people notice that they're arriving.
Oh, I knew you're up to no good. Okay, so I committed a little mail fraud. Haven't I been punished enough? Hey, stop! You can take back the bassinet with the baby.
So this is a pretty long first act for us.
Yeah, that's what's so weird. It's like this, in certain part acts feel very long, but then again, it's a very short show.
The dog was really funny, I thought.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing I wanted to talk about, is the dog, and the voice of the dog is Frank Welker, who is an amazing voiceover guy who is sort of, just as in Hollywood, they have trained animals and animal experts, Frank Welker is an animal voice expert. And he's been around for years and years and does tons of voices. He does the voice of Scooby-Doo. as well, but he can do pretty much any animal you want. You can say, do a giraffe crying, and he will do an accurate rendition of that. So he does both dogs in this, and if you listen, it's because it's amazing. A lot of it really sounds like a real dog, and it's just he is an amazing guy to work with. And one thing I think also we wanted to do is we wanted to do a dog story, because he's another character in the family that's not we don't often do.
I took him to a kennel, two towns over, just till the new dog gets settled.
Well, we wrecked the first dog.
I like that phrase, two towns over.
It's a convenient excuse, because no one will ever investigate that far.
I can't resist his charms.
Let's all walk, laddie.
Yeah, I think the dog park was the rewrite in this section. They used to take him to, like, a waterfall, and he jumps off it and does a special dive or something.
Did we make you animate the waterfall before we did
storyboard. I think we got to storyboard.
I think probably what happened there was that we thought that the idea of Laddie as a super dog had already been established enough, and we were just kind of overkilling it.
That's probably right.
This is nice because it introduces other people in the town.
Right, and you want to see, it's like a chance to see other people and their dogs. The comical aspect of someone's dog being just like them.
I believe this dog was in Skull and Bones.
Now, that's hard. That might be hard to tell. If the dog was giving him a secret handshake.
Oh.
There is what's going on, the Skull and Bones handshake.
Boy, Bart, Laddie's the best dog in the world. He's nothing like your old dog.
Santa's little helper? Guess I was the only one who loved him.
You got that right. Remember the time he ate my goldfish and you lied to me and said I never had any goldfish? But why'd I have the ball, Bart? Why did I have the ball?
Yeah, he was a great dog.
Oh, Santa's little helper, I was crazy to give you up for another dog. What have I done to you?
The name Santa's Little Helper worked great in the first episode, where it was Christmas time, and then later on we were saddled with that long, ungainly name.
I remember because when before we worked on the show, we were just happy fan viewers, and I was like, where the hell does that name come from? It makes my head hurt. There it goes. Now, this is a crazy fantasy, and coming up here at the act break... You hear coming up.
Where are you, boy?
It's the sound of a distant ship that was supposed to be. Oh, it's not the act break. Sound of a distant ship. And I remember we were originally going to have a very distant someone going, more dogs.
But, oh, right.
But I guess we decided not to have that.
That was milking it or
yeah.
Something.
Now what? Come on, I want to go home.
Now, of course, Laddie, now here, okay, here's a big point where I believe that we originally had worked up some really complicated rescue that Laddie did, but Dominic, you don't remember seeing anything like that?
I never saw it, but I did appreciate that you just flashed it.
we cut it the second we thought about it and decided just to make a joke of going right to it. But Laddie, of course, is based on the old heroic dog Lassie. Which was a big, I think actually was originally a movie, was it? And then a TV show in the 50s. And very much resembled Laddie.
Honest.
Oh, Maggie, you got oatmeal all over. Homie, would you clean her off?
Can do. Laddie! Come here, boy! Who wants to lick a messy baby? Laddie?
Dad? Laddie's not coming. I gave him away.
What's the matter, Bart?
Now, this acting, Nancy does really amazing acting on this. Where it really just sounds like a really sad kid. And I remember when she was doing this at the record, it was really great.
That's what you think is best. Let's just go down to the kennel and get Santa's little helper back.
We can't.
A mother saying to her small son, well, if that's what you think is best.
There's certain elements in this episode that I think we were working very hard
We'll just get you a new dog.
I don't want a new dog.
That line, there, shut up, boy. It's one of my favorite lines. Was that yours? George, it seems like it might be.
I don't know, maybe.
I don't know.
That's it's vaguely hostile, it was mine.
Dog food until your tears smell enough like dog food to make your dog come back, or you can go out there and find your dog.
You're right.
Tears smelling like dog food is really a disturbing idea.
That's. I imagine if you would eat dog food, your tears would start to have some scent.
Bad dog.
Oh, good.
You gotta give me back my...
Now, that the design of the Repo Depot is based very vaguely on the design of the actual Repo Place in Repo Man, which is a great movie from the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
All right, yeah. Alex Cox.
That's right. And if you haven't seen that movie, it's really great and weird and interesting. You can even start watching it now.
That movie inspired me to get into film. And friends of mine as well.
I remember when I saw it, I was like, I was blown away by how different and weird and that people could actually make something different and weird.
I ate his little face, I ate his guts, and I ate the way he's always barking. So I gave him to the church.
Oh, I see. You hate him, so you gave him to the church.
Aye. I also ate the mess he left on my rug. You heard me?
So this sort of is becoming a Shaggy Dog story in itself. And it is, I would say, I'll be honest, I wish that we had continued Valisa becoming addicted to pet pills story, because there's so much talk about the dog.
Bart, he's no longer among us.
You didn't crucify him.
No, he's safely with one of our parishioners. I'll give you his address if you like.
And then buy something or get out! Angel?
Now that address, 57 Mount Auburn Street, we had talked about before with other addresses that were 44 Bow Street, and they're both the addresses of the Harvard Lampoon, which a number of writers who work on the show were on.
My name is Bart Simpson. I have to talk to you about your dog.
Give me 1 minute.
Okay, showtime.
I also really like the little piano tinkling, which was done by Alf Clausen, I'm guessing.
Mister. No, let me do that again. Please, mister, please.
Hi there, how can I help you?
You're the guy who owns the dog?
Yep, his name's Sprinkles.
Sprinkles?
Yeah, he's my best buddy, huh? Especially since my parrot decided to stop talking. Polly?
That's a great, of course, homage to Monty Python, but it is a fabulous drawing of a parrot skeleton.
It is. It's really well done. I like that he still has a ribbon around his neck.
So, that's my plan. I'm going to break into the blind man's yard and swipe the dog.
I also like that Santa's little helper remains happy throughout this whole episode, pretty much, because you know what? It would be really depressing if he were sad, as opposed to the nice, happy dog that he is.
By the way, kids, those tools that Bart has, one of them, that's a bolt cutter. Very handy. 101 uses.
They are, and you can get them at any hardware store. And you can get smaller, easier-to-carry versions as well.
I missed you so much, boy.
Now, Dominic, are there rules? Because I know, like, there are a lot of different model charts and stuff and acting rules for all the different characters. For Santa's Little Helper, are there certain acting techniques that you guys always employ for the dog? You want to try me? Come
on. I think just knowing his character from the previous episodes, I tried to just keep his eyes wide a lot.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't blink that much. Keep him kind of, he's kind of lively and stupid.
Not, for some reason, not blinking is a sign of stupidity.
Yeah.
Although Steve Forbes never used to blink, but he certainly isn't stupid.
Because the police will be here any minute.
No, mister. Please, I'm just a kid. I only came to get my dog back.
Your dog?
I miss him so much, and I know you like him, but I like him too, and he was mine first, and I know I don't deserve him, but...
So what this comes down to is, you want a blind man to give up his only companion?
Yes, please.
Hmm. Tell you what.
We didn't receive any awards for this show.
No, because as you'll see, the blind man is not the world's best man. So
yeah, the blind man's kind of lousy, and Bart's acting like a creep.
But I think we did like that aspect of, like, it's just because someone is blind, they're not the world's nicest person. He's all right, and there are many wonderful, nice blind people there. But there's all types of people.
One. Congratulations.
Oh, jeez, I'm sorry. Wish there was some way we could both have a dog.
Hello? Police?
Aw, man, if this one's not the right house, I quit.
It's okay, officer. False alarm.
I always thought this show had a great ending.
I love this ending that's coming up. And I know on the internet, too, people love you. If you haven't seen the ending, and you haven't watched this episode, and you're just listening to commentary, first of all, you should watch the episode before the commentary. But it's a great ending, and we'll talk about it coming up in a sec.
Marijuana.
Wow.
What kind of person would just listen to the commentary?
I don't know, but thank you for listening.
Who is the demographic for commentary, I was wondering. I always wondered.
It's our super fans who like to hear the story.
Like comic book guy?
All types.
All types of super fans. God bless them.
Come on, boy. Let's go home.
That is, but you... If you're like us and are huge Simpsons nerds, you'll listen to a whole commentary just to hear a few nuggets. Here's a nugget coming up, which is, first of all, again, great music, great choice of music. But this is all people have asked us, was this written or was it ad-libbed? And only the idea of it was written, and we just had Hank, who's actually ad-libbing with himself, doing both Wiggum and Carl. And it's just really, he does a really great job that you would imagine anybody jamming.
It's such a gorgeous Bob Marley song. It's kind of perfect for it.
It is. It's sort of a nice, relaxing way to end this episode.
Thanks for watching, super fans.
I can't really remember that.
We're jamming.
So we had to do this a couple of times, and then Hank listened to himself, and then put in, first I think he did Wiggum, then he did Carl.
Jamming.